Welcome to the Maura Sweeney Podcast. Maura is an international speaker and the trademark ambassador of happiness with a passion for personal responsibility. She weaves insightful questions with personal stories to challenge your mindsets and empower your best and happiest self from the inside out. Here's Maura with today's podcast for you.
When was the last time you asked a sincere question? Well, if you're on a path to living happy from the inside out, today's podcast will certainly give you some things to think about because it's all about asking questions. Now, if you could think back to when you were really small, or maybe you've had your own child who's very tiny right now, like let's say toddler age, or maybe you're a teacher of preschoolers, you'll notice that little children absolutely major in the art of asking questions. Usually they want to know why. They may say, what is this? But oftentimes they'll say, why? Because their little minds are like sponges. They are learning about the world around them and they're very curious and everything becomes a new why. Well, if this then why that? Then why that? Yes, I know it could get a little bit problematic and exhausting, but I want you to consider that that's the role of little children who are learning about and exploring the world around them. If you think about many people, when they get older, they don't ask questions, or at least they don't ask questions that have been posed to them from within, that are questions of curiosity, that are questions seeking meaning and a putting together of various puzzle pieces, especially puzzle pieces that are not forming a cohesive picture. Today, I want to give you a few snapshots of my personal experiences in the, you want to call it the art of asking questions, sometimes with good responses and some not so great. Maybe as you're listening, you will be inspired and even catalyzed to ask some questions yourself. Here's my first young child, and I was always looking forward to Santa Claus. I love the idea of Christmas. Santa Claus was everywhere. He was on TV. He was in all the department stores. He was in all of the flyers, newspapers, magazines. It was all about Santa Claus. And Santa Claus was this wonderful figure that spent his entire year figuring out what every child wanted across the globe, and in one single night would go around with his reindeer down everybody's chimney and make sure every single child got their gifts on Christmas Eve before all the kids woke up the next morning. Wonderful story. And again, Santa Claus is everywhere. Well, I remember being a young child, and I started to think to myself, wait a minute. I don't know if these men that I'm looking at in the stores all look alike. How come they don't look like the same Santa Claus? And I would get various questions like, well, they're Santa's helpers. And then I remember also saying, well, wait a minute. I've been to some people's houses and they don't have a chimney. Where does Santa Claus get into the house? And then I'd get some other answer. And then I remember thinking, well, you know, not everybody has the same amount of things in their life. Is Santa Claus able to get big gifts to all the children, even maybe the poorer children? Well, you can imagine they were my small child gifts. And the more questions I asked, the less the puzzle pieces were falling into place for me. And they really presented an issue because I did not like the answers I was getting. And I remember at one time I was at my grandmother's house. And I was probably just a very curious child. And one of the things I happened to do was to walk into her walk-in closet. And up above, where she would generally keep her hat boxes back in the days, I remember seeing games, unopened games, things that were advertised on TV. And it was probably at some point in December, and I walked down the hallway and into the kitchen. I said, I knew it. I knew there was no Santa Claus. I just found games in your closet. And I know that Santa Claus didn't put them there. You bought them. Now, it was almost like I called everything as it was. And it was a disappointing moment. My grandmother tried to make up another story, and I just wasn't buying. And I hope as you're listening to this, you could laugh. But the interesting thing that happened is that in that moment, I did get my answer. I'm going to tell you, it was a little bit disappointing because it would be nice to think that there really was a Santa Claus. But I learned as a small child that when there were things that didn't add up, my mind needed to ask the questions. So that's the Santa Claus story from being very young. I had a story that pertains now to religion that took place when I was about 8 years old. And I want to make this into something that's more universal, which is why I'm going to term it religion. But what I remembered is that the church that I attended, in this case it was the Roman Catholic Church, but you could probably call it any institution of religion, they operated in one way, and they had a very specific list of things that were considered sins. So therefore, if you committed a sin back then and you didn't have a chance to confess it before God, and what we were shared with at school as children is that if you didn't get a chance to confess that sin before you died, you would find yourself in purgatory, which in this case happened to have been flames of a temporal rather than a forever nature. It wasn't like hell, 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 but all of a sudden, as I realized at the age of 8, the Catholic institution that to me was religion, but it represented my vision and version and a sense of who and what God was, changed their rules. And suddenly, they changed some of the rules about what we were allowed to eat and not eat on, in this case, a Friday. And I learned that suddenly it was okay to eat meat on Friday. And that translated to me like, wait a minute. God already put some people down in the flames of purgatory because they ate meat 6 months ago and now it's okay? Well, I asked questions of my parents. I asked questions of my teachers. I asked questions of my religious teachers. No one anywhere could answer that question. And it disturbed me so badly that I literally remembered at 8 years old that the very foundation of my life and what I felt it was resting upon, namely a benevolent, wise, all-knowing, all-equal God was suddenly maybe hoodwinking people. And it literally knocked my entire axis of life over. And I remember that happened to have been the first time when I asked a question of man and couldn't get an answer. But one day I actually got the answer from God, source, spirit, whatever you want to call it. And I never forgot it. And all of a sudden, within moments, when that truth came to me, I was able to rest. Number three, a question regarding business. Fast forward many years, I'm now working in corporate America. I'm a manager at a national company. And at one point, many of you who've been there would remember this, I was invited to participate in what I would refer to as an outward bound program. They were very popular back in the day. And basically, they were team building and leadership training for people who were already in management. So our big corporation hired someone, a consultant who was working for another entity, to come and bring us all together as managers, and they were going to teach us in this Outward Bound program how to think outside the box. So they were programs like, okay, we've got a lifeboat, and it's only good for 11 people, and there's a 12th, and what do you do about them, and how do you decide? And the whole intention of the program was, think outside the box. If you want to be a leader, you need to think outside the box. Well, I was inspired as I was at this event, even though I was, you know, thinking to myself, how do we deal with a person that can't get on this lifeboat? But among the various things that took place during that 3-day period of time, I happened to say to the instructor, wow, this has been so revelatory to me. I said, now what if everything you're teaching us and everything you are giving to us is a box in itself, and we could even think outside that box that you are sharing with us? Well, I have to tell you, the trainer that was brought on board by his own company to do this became infuriated with me. The answer was, you are supposed to think outside the box as long as you remain inside what we consider to be a box, but don't tell anybody the box exists. It was an interesting thing. I got finished with the program. I got out of it, whatever I was supposed to, but I remember thinking, wait a minute, there are boxes way beyond the ones that we are told exist. So that was a business example. I want to give you another one that took place. Let's say I was in my late 30s, early 40s, somewhere around there. I happen to have, this is post 9/11, which in many ways changed the United States and also changed our view of society and the world. And at the time, right after 9/11, we had the Patriot Act came out, and it was designed to help, I would say, protect Americans from further incursion or involvement of terrorists coming to the United States. And I remember when it first came out, this legislation, it enabled incredible new avenues of surveillance that we had never before had or experienced as Americans, one of which included the deputizing of then the cable TV installers. That was the era where suddenly people were going from watching regular TV stations to getting cable TV installed. And so they had these installers that looked like regular guys that were deputized, and they were allowed, and perhaps in some cases, I can't verify this, to actually report any indication of suspect behaviors at the homes that they entered. Once they found that there was something suspect, they were allowed to report it in via the Patriot Act. And the odd thing that took place as a result of it is that anyone whose name was given in as being suspect would not have the benefit of knowing what the charges were against them, who it was that brought the charges, and they were actually considered guilty rather than considered innocent until proven guilty. So the whole idea behind the Patriot Act was that you lose the various protections that Americans had always known and lived under through the Constitution and Bill of Rights. Well, I have to tell you, at the time, I happened to be homeschooling our daughter, and I remember we were in an era, and I thought, boy, oh boy, anybody who's not quote-unquote normative could be considered, quote-unquote, suspect. And I remember thinking, I don't like this at all. Well, fast forward a couple of years, I happened to have been in Ireland. I was volunteering at a summer camp for youth. It was an international camp designed to bring youth together, especially those from countries that were not getting along well. And one of the other volunteers at that same site happened to have been a recently retired U.S. general. Now, to give you the man's credentials, he was from, again, as I said, the United States. He was, among other things, a medical doctor. But in addition to that, one of his multiple degrees included a master's degree in political science from Georgetown University. Now, I know I have a lot of listeners that are from the U.S., but many who are from overseas. And for the benefit of those overseas, I will tell you this. Georgetown University is as old as our Washington, D.C. is. It is part of Washington, D.C. establishment. It is, it's a producer of a lot of the very high-level political elite. It has its own law school that's been around for ages. It also has a School of Foreign Service, which also develops and recruits a lot of the people that go into foreign service. So, and just to give you one example, former President Bill Clinton graduated from Georgetown University. So if you want to think about a bastion, a citadel, a place of knowledge and knowing about our constitutional beginnings, about our about how Washington works, about how government is, all of this, it would be Georgetown. So as we happen to be working at this summer camp in Ireland, and we had this recently retired general, I happened to say to him one evening as we're cleaning up after dinner, I said, by the way, I'm so glad you're here because I have a very important question to ask you. I said, tell me how you feel about the Patriot Act. He said, well, what about it? I said, well, how do you feel about the Patriot Act having undermined the very protections Americans have always had to privacy? And he said to me, well, what do you mean? And I found myself explaining to this man who had the master's degree from Georgetown in political science and who also was a recently retired U.S. general about the differences between our Constitution and Bill of Rights and the recently passed legislation on the Patriot Act. And I'm thinking to myself, this doesn't make any sense. And you know what he said to me? Oh, he said, you need to stop thinking about that. He said, you need to think about more happy things. And he went back to sweeping the floor. And I was left dumbfounded thinking, wait a minute, you're a general. Don't you care? So That was my question regarding, let's say, a government situation. And finally, I'll give you something that happened even after that. And this would be a question regarding family. Well, everybody's got questions, but many times, as especially in my case, I didn't realize that as much as I was free to speak in the family in which I grew up, I didn't realize that certain questions were off the table. Let's say they were outside the box. And when I got into my 40s, there were certain things that, I don't know, when I had a couple of moments to think, I started asking questions about things in my family history that didn't add up, that were incongruent. And you know what happened after and even about behaviors, things that didn't make sense. And would you believe the outcome to that was that it was actually told to me that I needed to get some psychiatric help because I was off. Do you know why? Because I had decided to ask some questions. Now, today you might be listening to this and say, wow, Maura, every single question you ask, I don't know if you like the answer. Sometimes the answers that we get to our questions can be disappointing in the case of Santa Claus. They can be discouraging in the case of a U.S. general who should have known better, who was absolutely out to lunch or decided he really didn't care or wasn't worthy of his position. It could also be brutal. I don't even want to use that word brutal, but maybe in some other cases it can be. But I mean, think about this, being a member of a family, knowing you are psychologically sound, and the first time you ask some questions, you're actually told that you need some psychiatric help. So that can happen. And if you're listening to me today, I'll bet some of you are saying, wow, you know what? I work for a church, and if I ever ask some of the wrong questions, I might be booted out. Or I work in industry, and some of the things that are being done are unethical. Or maybe I work in science, and I'm being asked to sign off on some things that clearly don't line up with my experiments. We may not like the answers we get. However, I will tell you this when it comes to questioning. Ultimately, beyond the disappointments, the discouragements, maybe sometimes when people leave you for the questions you ask, I will tell you this, you will find yourself further liberated, further strengthened, and you will find that the answers are actually revelatory to you, help put together disparate pieces of information that your inner man, not your outside man, not even your typical intellectual person had to deal with, but your inner man had to deal with. Literal revelatory type things. I will tell you that not only will you stand taller, walk more brightly, but you will help others to do the same. If you've ever been someone who complained about the world, didn't like certain things that were going on, maybe it was because you didn't ask the right questions. Perhaps you didn't ask any questions before. What I want to leave you with this at the end of this podcast today is maybe you've listened and you thought, I wouldn't even know where to begin. I've always asked questions of young people, children, old people, perfect strangers. And in some cases, people have said to me, wow, do you know I've never been asked that question before? Currently, you may not even know what the questions are that you want to ask, but I do have a suggestion. Whether it's one night before you go to sleep or one early morning before you get yourself up and head out for your day, just sit for a moment and say, what question or questions does my inner man really want to know the answer to? I bet that without much time passing, you'll all of a sudden have something come to mind. May you find that beyond the discouragement, the disappointment that you too feel, that you have been liberated, strengthened, and revived by the answers. Until the next time, this is Maura for you, asking you to ask a few questions. Bye-bye now.
For more insights on living happy from the inside out, subscribe to this podcast. To learn more about Maura, visit her mauraforyou.com website, where you'll find videos, blogs, books, and the Foundations of Happiness self-study e-course. Maura, number 4, letter U.com, where Maura is always for you.